Hare Krishna. First, I'd like to take roll. Yesterday, Panch Pandava was excused. He was at a meeting. You got the homework assignment that I left? Yeah. Okay. Ishadanya Shri Ishvara Bhakta Arvind Rasmandal Kavi Krishna Priya Adi Purush in Pundarik and Madhava Maharaj. He does some puja. He said he's having trouble getting his assistant to come early enough to help him to start his puja early. He might be late. He'll try to be on time. Krishna Priya was sick yesterday. She was excused. She also did the homework. Are you feeling better? Okay. Today I brought with me the book called Woe Is I by a lady. We can pass her picture around. You'll be amused at how she looks. She's an editor for the New York Times Book Review, and she wrote this amusing guide on grammar. You'll see as we do these chapters on grammar that the humor is New York humor. She's from New York, and she teaches grammar sometimes to the staff of the New York Times. So this chapter, Woe Is I, Pronoun Anxiety, this is her work. I just borrowed it for the course. We did this in Mayapur last year too. We took work from her book because it's so amusing.
English.
That's right. Yeah, British grammar is different. Well, one guideline is, of course, where the book is going to be read. The English BBT at one point began to have Sita Dasi, an English woman, go through the American English books of Srila Prabhupada and anglicize them. She changed, for example, the spelling of the word honor from H-O-N-O-R to H-O-N-U-R, because that's the British spelling. And she did other adjustments too. She adjusted the quotation marks from double quotation marks to singular quotation marks, like the British use. So the BBT in England actually adjusted their books. The usual BBT standard is American English, and it's used in India too. Australia also uses the American BBT English standard. So it depends on where your material is going to be read. If your book is for a British audience, go ahead, use British standards. If it's international, I would use American English standards. You're safe there. You know, some people will say, well, it's not British, or it's not Australian, or it's not Indian English, but that's okay. I mean, American English is the universal standard right now, so it's okay. And it's the standard in ISKCON too, in the sense that it's the standard used in Srila Prabhupada, most of Srila Prabhupada's English books. But you'll be surprised how few people notice the standards. You can judge this by how they write. If you look at a sample of somebody's writing, you'll see that although he's speaking in language that every ISKCON devotee normally uses, he'll get things different than the way they're put in Prabhupada's books in terms of punctuation and grammar and parts of speech. And like the example yesterday, Hari Kata, Hari was capitalized, but it should be lowercase. So just a little more attention, to the styles that you find in Prabhupada's books, and then you could have, it would have been the same as in Prabhupada's books. But so people are reading Srila Prabhupada's books without paying too much attention to the little points of style. But as editors, it would be good for you to pay attention, close attention to what's in Srila Prabhupada's books, and then you'll pick up all kinds of standards and styles that the BBT uses. All right, let's see. what we can do. Let's go through your test. Let's grade your test. When you were where?
When I was addicted, it was in British
style. You need it for Prabhupada's books? You need it? The American English and Srila Prabhupada's books, sometimes you need a dictionary to understand.
Yeah, not because of the American, not because it's...
You know, you don't use them in Britain.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that gets into the area of idioms. Some of the British idioms we wouldn't recognize either. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is American English. It's New York English, but American English. Let's see what she does. Okay, the first sentence. Nobody likes a dog that bites. Nobody likes a dog that bites. It can stand for anything. It's apostrophe S should be apostrophe S, the second it's, or the first it's. Apostrophe S. Apostrophe is... IT apostrophe S is a versatile pronoun because it means it is. In the next two sentences, the words should be reversed. Whose frog? W-H-O-S-E in the first sentence. Second sentence, W-H-O apostrophe S. The inviting Hotel Marquet reads U apostrophe R-E. U apostrophe R-E, not Y-O-U-R. Y-O-U-R is possessive. Y-O-U apostrophe R-E stands for you are our kind of people. Number five, the girl that married dear old dad, the girl who married dear old dad, are both okay? Yes, they are. We'll explain why. Or it's explained why. If you read the homework, you got the explanation. Harry invited only devotees who, he thought, played musical instruments. Whom he thought. Who he thought. Who is the subject of the verb played? Who played? Devotees. He invited only devotees who played musical instruments, without the M. Yeah, it's the subject of the verb played. Harry invited devotees who played musical instruments. More directions, and then, okay, let's just read them. Who is the letter from? Did I tell you who I saw? It is I. All of those are correct in speaking or writing informally. It's me is informal, but it is I is still acceptable. You know, if you answer the telephone, is Tattva Bit there? It's I. Yes? Whom sounds better? Whom is correct. Who is incorrect, but it's now acceptable in informal writing and in speech. Because people use it, so it's making its way into the usage and English. It's acceptable in English, American English usage.
Who?
Not informal writing. Yeah, informal. Informally, it's okay. It's in informal English. Who is okay there? But formal English would require whom, formal writing. Did I tell you whom I saw? I saw whom. Okay. Dhanavir loves spaghetti more than me. If you read the homework, then you read that either one is all right. It depends on the meaning. It was explained on pages 11 to 14. Did everybody read that explanation? Okay, so we'll come back to it. Anything you have a question on, we'll discuss. Nobody will help you but me. Was that one explained in the homework? I thought so. I think I have it in here somewhere. The project made money for Bala and me. Myself only if you're going to try, only if your purpose is to emphasize yourself. We'll come to that. The home. Yeah, I think that's correct. I seem to remember that this is from the book Words into Type. This sentence, I think, is from the book Words into Type, not this book. But I will help you. Nobody will help you, but I will. Yeah, but I think this is an example of acceptable usage of the word me. I think so. I don't seem to remember where I don't remember where I put the explanation, but I think it's from Words into Type. Nobody will help you but me. I think it's okay. I think it's informal. I think it's informal, but it's acceptable. I'm sorry, I forgot the explanation. Okay, who forgot their bead bag is incorrect. It should be who forgot his bead bag. Or who forgot... Well, you still have one... You have one bead bag. You have one bead bag. Well, it's singular. Oh, I see. It could be that everybody forgot. Everybody forgot their bead bag. So you want to remind everybody. Still, well, let's see what she says about it. We'll come back to this. Bring this up again. We'll read Mrs. O'Connor's recommendations. Nobody truly knows their own mind, his or her. It's singular. Nobody is singular. No one appreciates her husband. Singular. You could say that. You could say that, but her is shorter. Her is only three letters. One's is four letters and an apostrophe. No one appreciates her husband. Each has its drawbacks. Each has its drawbacks. Neither devotee was wearing tilak. You could drop the possessive if you wanted. Neither devotee was wearing tilak. You could drop it altogether. Or you could say his, or his or her tilak. Depending on who you're speaking about. Okay, the first sentence that you wanted to question was... the first thing we wanted to question, explain was nobody likes a dog that bites. Does everybody understand this difference between that and which you were saying yesterday you didn't, Mujvala? Did you read this? Page 11? Was it clear now? It was clear. How the sentence, what? The meaning, yeah, it's more a matter of meaning. She starts out by saying that if witch sounds right, then you've been spooked by witches. So it's not a question of sound. It's not a question of sound. So many people might think that witch sounds right. Nobody likes a dog which bites. So there are two rules to help you figure out whether a clause should start with that or witch. And she gives two rules. You can drop the clause and not lose the point of the sentence. Use which. So in this case, nobody likes a dog which bites. You can't drop that. You have to have that there. Nobody likes a dog who bites. You have to have that information there. So in that case, you can't drop who bites or which bites. So you have to use that. Please speak really loud, huh? You're not... Was the author American or British? She seemed... Well, anyway, maybe your computer was suggesting that you want to consider commas and the witches. Maybe it wasn't saying you have to, or you... Maybe it was just drawing your attention to, you know, this is a point where you might want to pay close attention. Maybe it was trying to tell you that. Make sure you're using the right... choice. Maybe it was just reminding you have an important choice to make here. Yes, but Mrs. But Mrs. O'Connor says that if it sounds right, you've been spooked by witches.
Yeah, no, the sign.
Oh. So sometimes you didn't change that to witch, you just put it in commas.
I just put it in commas.
Which was already there.
Didn't change any words. The witch was already there.
So the author was wrong. That should be. That should be.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. If he was correct, put in the witch there. Maybe in some cases he should have had that. Sometimes you have different considerations. Sometimes you can use a witch. Like if you have a that in the sentence already. Suppose there's the word that in the sentence already, and you want to avoid repeating the word that, then maybe you can use a witch instead of a that. Older English uses which. Older English. But the more contemporary English, that is better. Yeah, these days, everybody's recommending that you have that instead of which. Yes, and a which. They have different meanings, yes. Yeah, that's additional information, though. That if you want to get the point of the sentence, the point of the sentence can be made without the witch clause. Krishna's cow gave the most milk. That's the point of the sentence. It just so happens that the cow had one white ear. And you can do without that information. So this clause can be dropped. The witch clause can be dropped, which had one ear. The cow that gave the most milk was Krishna's cow. The point of each sentence is that Krishna's cow gives the most milk. So that's something, if you don't understand this, you're going to have to work on it to get it straight. You can do exercises on this if you don't understand the that and the which. Keep track of what you don't understand, and then maybe I can give you some more exercises on it. Okay, the next one, the second one, third one, fourth one. Tell me if you want to go over any of these. The second one, third one. Whose frog and whose frog? Oh, yeah. Okay, let's look at page 12. Who apostrophe S is shorthand for who is? Who's there? You know, you can say, who's there? The apostrophe stands for something that has been removed. Whose is the possessive form? What is the what? Aha, it means the owner of something. What's the, you know, like Aravind's aunt. Aravind's aunt. You have an aunt, right? You have one aunt in your family, right? So we can say Aravind apostrophe S, aunt, your aunt, Aravind's aunt. And when you have the word whose, whose, suppose your aunt is here. Whose aunt is this? Oh, it's Aravind's aunt. So whose is the possessive form? Whose book is this? Whose microphone is this? Like that. This whose and whose, this is the same as its and its. On page 12, you find explanation of its or its and whose or whose. The two are related. They're the same thing practically. Okay, the girl that married dear old dad, is that Kabir? No, who apostrophe? When you say Govinda's, generally you say Govinda apostrophe S. That's correct. That belongs to Govinda. So you remember being taught that WHO apostrophe S is the right way to indicate possession. No. That's not true in British English. This is true for all kinds of English. Whose?
What is
then
the meaning of Govinda apostrophe S?
Go belongs, it's the property of Govinda. Yeah, that's possessive. Between because it's possessive. People go wrong when they assume. Yeah, read this. People go wrong when they assume that a word with an apostrophe must be a possessive, like Krishna's aunt. An apostrophe can also stand for something that's been omitted, as in contractions. So read this over and over again. Read it 3 times until you understand it. Who wants to raise another question about another sentence? Because there's another meaning. Dhanavir loves spaghetti more than me. Then the wife is complaining that he doesn't love me as much as he loves spaghetti. He likes spaghetti more. At the bottom of page 13, notice there's a sentence telling you that it's okay to say he's taller than me. The grammatical terms are there. The accusative instead of the nominative is acceptable after verbs of incomplete predication. Yeah, these are all grammatical terms. But suppose you wanted to say he's taller than me. Then you can say me. You can use me instead of I. You don't say he's taller than I am tall. You say he's taller than me. So, what else? After verbs become, be. He becomes happier than me when he sees the deities. He becomes happier than me when he sees the deities. Nominative would be I, the subject, the first person. The accusative is a grammatical term meaning you use the objective case. An incomplete predication means just that the word be or become is not complete in itself. It needs another adjective or whatever to fill out the meaning. So taller in this case, or happier, is taller. It completes the meaning. Incomplete predicate means, the predicate means the verb. It's an incomplete verb. Verbs of incomplete predication. Because usually something is being compared. The reason this has so many grammatical terms in it is because it's a rule from the book Words into Type. This Mrs. O'Connor never uses these grammatical terms. That's one thing
I was
that...
Yeah,
her book is easy to use because she doesn't use grammatical terms. Okay, we're up to sentence 6. Everybody understands the first 5 sentences? On page 10, there's this 5 test sentences. So we're up to number 6 now. Unless somebody wants to explain a little more, wants to have explained the first 5, we'll go on to number 6 now. Harry invited only devotees who he thought played musical instruments. Harry invited... That's on page 13 at the top. Whom, sweet whom? Whom, sweet whom is a takeoff on home, sweet home. Mrs. O'Connor's humor. Who does something and whom has something done to it? Who does it to whom? To decide between who and whom, ask yourself, who is doing what to whom? So in this example, Harry invited only devotees whom, you might think it's whom, because he invited devotees. So you might think, well, I have to put whom there, because whom refers to the devotees. And something is being done to them, they're being invited, so it should be whom. But that's not a complete analysis. Harry invited only devotees. Then you have another clause. Who played musical instruments? So who is doing something? The who is doing something. The who is playing the musical instruments. Who played musical instruments? Well, maybe not in commas, but you're right. You know, if you can mentally make a bracket around the words he thought, then that's a very good idea, because then it becomes clear to you what parts are doing what. Yes, if you can set in brackets it mentally, she recommends this, mentally bracket those things that belong together and set them apart from other things in the sentence so that you can properly analyze the sentence. Yes, and I mean, it would not be a good idea. Don't put commas there because they're not required. Yes, they would be wrong. An editor would take them out. They're not required. They would be wrong. Don't put commas there, but mentally you can put the commas there to get the, you know, sense of the sentence straight. Yeah, but still it might not be clear with commas. You might have to say more. You could imply he was wrong with commas, maybe. Yeah. Alright, let's see. Let's look at the rest of the information about who and whom at the top of page 13, first section there. So the first pointer, here are two pointers to help sort things out. Simplify, strip the clause down to its basic subject, verb, and object. We already did that. We said, who played musical instruments? That who is the subject, played is the verb, instruments is the subject, object. Pointer number two, move the words around mentally to make it easier to identify the subject and object. In almost all cases, you can use who for whom in conversation or informal writing like personal letters and casual. I wrote causal memos. Casual memos. Who's the letter from? Pronoun anxiety. Okay, the next one. We just covered the next one. Who's the letter from? Did I tell you who I saw? It is I. Well, why are both okay? Well, she says both sound right and both are right. A person can be either a that or a who. A thing is always a that. If an animal doesn't have a name or we don't know its name, it's a that. If an animal has a name, it's a who. You see the explanation? It's on page 12. Who's that? It's under this section called Who's That? That is impersonal, maybe, a little bit. Nobody will help you but me. I wish I could find that. Let's see. All right. Just between me and I on page 13. No one makes the mistake of saying, you'll be hearing from I, when there's only one pronoun after a preposition. Do you know what a preposition is? Yes. She breaks it down. She splits it apart. She says a preposition prepositions a word. A preposition prepositions a word. So from, in this sentence, you'll be hearing from I. From is a preposition. It's prepositioning the word I. I is a pronoun, so there's only one pronoun after the preposition from. So we instinctively use the correct grammar. You'll be hearing from me, it should be. But when the pronoun isn't alone, we use abominations like come to lunch with the kids and I. People do this without thinking, and not because they don't know the difference between I and me. Because you wouldn't say it if you just used I. Come to lunch with I. You see, there's two things after the preposition. The pronoun is not alone there, with the kids and I. So you wouldn't say come to lunch with I. Therefore, she calls it an abomination. People do this without thinking. When you were in school, they what? As a subject. My brother and I are going to school. As a subject, yes. Yeah, but because she drilled this into you, don't use me, don't use me, use I. You may think, well, I have to use I in all cases, but that's not true. You don't use I after a preposition. Yes, yes. No, that's a mistake. No one makes the mistake of saying, you'll be hearing from I. No, that's unacceptable. As she calls it an abomination. We use abominations like, come to lunch with the kids and I. If you were going to drop the words with the kids. If you're going to say to somebody, come to lunch with I, he wouldn't say that. Come to lunch with me.
It would be correct to say coming to lunch.
Yes, because it's the subject. No. Let's look at the next example. See how it sounds. The next example is the odds were against you and I. Does that sound right? It's not right. If you do this, put the tricky pronoun first. The odds were against I and you. You don't say that. The odds were against me and you. It's up to me and you. You always choose the right one if it's first in line. So there, I think we have this example. Nobody will help you but me. The thing is that but is not a preposition. But is a conjunction. Nobody will help you but I. You don't say that. Nobody will help you but I. Well, you see, the thing is, the way the word but works there is like the word except. Nobody will help you except me. So except is a preposition. And the word but is being used as a preposition. It's being used like a preposition. Nobody will help you but me. Okay, myself. Who thought that it should read? The project made money for Bala and myself. This is like the... On page 10, we have this sixth sentence from the bottom. The project made money for Bala and myself. This is explained on page 14. On page 14, we have a section called The Sins of the Selfish. Govinda Nandini and myself were married yesterday. The project made money for Bala and myself. Myself and the rest of the selfish crew, yourself, himself, herself, itself, ourselves, yourselves, themselves, shouldn't take the place of the ordinary pronouns. They are used for only two purposes. One, to emphasize, I made the cookies, myself. Love itself is a riddle. The emphasis could be left out and the sentence would still make sense. Or two, to refer back to the subject. She hates herself. Or you call yourself a plumber? They consider themselves lucky to be alive. The problem solved itself. So, myself calls too much attention to you. The project made money for Bala and me. Govinda Nandini and I were married yesterday. Now the plurals. Who forgot their bead bag? Nobody truly knows their own mind. Like that. Let's go on page 14. Continue reading. There, theirs, and there and theirs. Everybody with me? There is shorthand for they are. Their and theirs are possessives. Their money is theirs alone. There, meaning in or at that place, and theirs, shorthand for there is, aren't even pronouns. Now we have to go on. How many is everybody? Everybody or everyone means one person. These pronouns are singular. We often use them when talking about whole gangs of people, but we treat them grammatically as individual gang members. Each takes a singular verb. So even though you've got a whole group of people and you're saying, who forgot their bead bag, you have to treat it as singular. Who is singular? Did anybody forget his bead bag? But you're using who? Who can refer to a group? Is that true?
Who amongst us?
It's an individual you're asking about. Anyone and everybody what? Singular. Can who be plural? Okay, that's the question. Can who be plural? There are a lot of people who love swimming. Okay, this might be part of the problem, that this word his, you tend not to use the word his, because his seems to refer just to the men. But in English, his has always been a stand-in for his or her. It has always meant anybody. His, we say, but it means either gender. So sometimes we think, well, I can't use his because it doesn't cover the ladies. And therefore we think, I have to use the word there. Who forgot their bead bag? Because we're referring to the men and the women, right? Who forgot their bead bag? You don't want to just say, who forgot his bead bag? So this is the problem. She points this out. And she says that for a long, long, long time, his has always stood for his or her. Here's her discussion. I'll read this. Stick to singular stand-ins for singular pronouns, like he, she, is, her, hers, and its. Somebody forgot to pay his bill. Somebody forgot to pay his bill. You may be tempted to use their, because you don't know whether the somebody is a he or a she. Well, your non-sexist intentions are good, but your grammar isn't. The pronouns. Now here's the rule. Here's the standard. The pronouns he and his have been used since time immemorial to refer to people in general. If you can't bring yourself to use them, the somewhat awkward unisex alternatives are the compounds he or she, his or her, his or hers. Somebody forgot to pay his or her bill. Or you can forget the possessive. Somebody forgot to pay the bill. Okay, so much for that. Now, yesterday I was talking to Adipurusha, and he said that in the Ukraine, it's just the opposite. Her is the standard thing that refers to either his or her. Can you explain that? So you would say, nobody truly knows her own mind. Nobody knows her own. No human being knows her mind. The soul has forgotten her identity with Krishna. The soul has forgotten her relationship with Krishna. Well, that corresponds to our theology, that the soul is... What would it be? Somebody forgot to pay his check. His bill, yeah. Now, there are a few more examples. Who forgot his bead bag? Who forgot his or her bead bag? Not there. That's wrong. Grammatically, that's not good. Nobody truly knows her own mind. You could say that. Nobody truly knows her own mind. If you wanted to. Sometimes writers do this now. Instead of saying nobody truly knows his own mind, they deliberately substitute her just to show that it can go either way. He always uses the feminine. Oh, yeah. Somebody must have his head screwed on backward. Somebody must have his head screwed on backward. Look what he did. Somebody. There's somebody. Must have his head screwed on backward. It doesn't mean it has to be a man. It could be a woman, but the word his is used. You don't say somebody must have their head screwed on backwards. Someone locked himself out. Someone locked himself. Do you say that? Someone locked themselves out. No. Someone locked himself out. Okay, no one appreciates her husband. Her husband makes sense. No one appreciates her husband. You don't say their husband. No one appreciates their husband. A husband. No. Huh? No one appreciates? The? The. T-H-E. No. You could say no one appreciates it. I mean, you could say no one appreciates a husband, but there must be some context what you're talking about. But if you want to just generalize, no one appreciates her husband, and say no one appreciates her husband. Of course, that's such a broad statement. Whether it's true or not is another thing. It may be in one room. Maybe if you have one meeting of women who are having trouble with their husbands, you're a marriage counselor and you have five women in the room and they're all having trouble with their husband, then you can say, in this group, no one appreciates her husband. Then it would make sense perfectly. Again? You had a question again? Another question? No. Okay. And neither devotee was wearing tilak. Neither devotee was wearing his tilak. Neither devotee was wearing his or her tilak. Here you could, you know, you could say if you're talking about a man and a woman. It's just two people, neither one. Neither was wearing her tilak, it could be two ladies. Neither was wearing his or her tilak, it could be a couple. Neither was wearing his tilak, two men. Okay, it's almost time to stop. So we made some good progress. Can you tell me your scores on this pronoun? I'll read your name and then you tell me. Ishvara, what did you do? How many correct? So that's how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 17 or 18. Yeah, because it's whose and whose frog is this, who's responsible. So that makes it 18 if we count that as 2. Count that as 2 and count this who's the letter from, did I tell you why? So count that as 3. So then it comes to, huh? 18 then, yeah. Ishvara got 18. And Panch Pandava? 9, very good. Isodhyan? Right. Wrong. So that's 15 you got. Bhakta Arvind, how many correct? 8. Ras Mandal? The plurals, yeah. Well, listen, we'll go into it again when we come to the next chapter about plurals. We'll be doing some more of the almost the same thing. Oh, yeah, you tried to correct it like that. Kavi Kanpur, Krishnapriya, 4. Wrong. 14 you got. Adiprush, 17, correct. Pundrik, and Madhava Maharaj absent. Okay, that's it. Now, tomorrow, read pages. We're going to go on. We have some more pronoun work to do. Read 15, 16, and you can take the test on page 17. Read 15 and 16. That's about pronouns. And take the test on page 17. At home. This is the homework. Page 17, take the test. And read 15 and 16. Read some more about pronouns, 15, 16. Take the test on 17. And if you have any questions about the test on page 17, then we'll discuss them tomorrow. We'll go over the whole explanation of the test tomorrow. Well, you wouldn't say this. You would say, whom is? You wouldn't say like that. Whom is the letter from?
Whom is the letter from?
Yeah.
Did I tell you whom I saw?
Yeah.
It's okay. It is me.
Yeah. It's me.
But it can be informal language, can be used. It is I.
It is I is formal. It is I is formal, but it's still acceptable in informal language. I mean, you can answer the phone and say it is I. Is Majvalda? It's I. It is I. Although it's formal, it's used in informal conversation. So it probably more people say it is me, which is really informal. Let's see what she says about that. Birbal. Birbal is that joker, the jester. So let's see, let's do a few more days of work with the pages that I took from the book. And if you're not satisfied that that's enough from the book, if you want to copy the book, you can do that, you know. They did it in Mayapur last year. But I'd have to take out all my notes. And for right now, I want to keep these notes where they are, because I have things marked here that I want to refer to in class. I don't want to remove everything. We'd have to copy it at the end of the class. No, usually not. Like, you know, when you write a letter, you're probably informal. It depends on who you're writing to. You might be writing to somebody important, then you write it formally. And you don't mix it up. You don't mix, you know, if you're trying to address the president of the country, you don't write an informal letter. But to your cousin, you can write informally. If you're going to write an article for Bhakti Godhead, you're probably going to write more formally than informally. But if you're just writing to a devotee who just joined, and you're explaining something to a devotee that just joined, then you can write informal.
Informal usage, does it indicate that we can loosen up grammar like that? Or does it have that grammar can be used, but it's not standard?
Yeah, you can loosen up. Like, who's there, you know? When we speak to someone, that's grammatically it's incorrect, but it's acceptable in informal usage. Who's there? Somebody knocks at the door. In informal, you know, in informal usage, you can let go of a few of the rules, but you have to know which ones are being let go of. You still have to consult some authorities and say which rules are being loose now. Which rules are loose now? And the authorities can tell you, well, these days people are not paying attention to this, they're not paying attention to that. Take the word ain't, right? You heard of the word ain't? Let's see what she says about that. That's a word that they never use in formal writing, right?